We're doing our class in the Jewish home. I want to ask you a question, and I'm not going to ask you to answer me, but I want you to answer you. Ordinarily, we'd give out a piece of paper and everyone would write their answer. What do you expect to get out of marriage? One question. What do you expect to get out of marriage? Okay, so Chaim says, my laundry done. Shmuel says, hot meals.
How about happiness?
Mr. Barron says,
Children.
Okay. Mr. Barron says, happiness. What else? What do you expect to get out of marriage?
A recipient of my giving.
Okay, what else?
I told you it's the guy.
I just finished the book, guys. I'm a freshman.
Gentlemen, anything else? Yes, Yaakov. A friend and a partner. Now, let me ask you a question. Okay. Can I ask a few questions? Let's go with raising hands, just because otherwise I see this is getting out of hand a little bit. Okay. Did any of you think of someone you could talk to? Was that like, okay. Next question. But let's do it with hands, okay? What do you expect to give in marriage? Suddenly, no one has anything to say. hands. Yes, Joey.
Security.
Expect to give security, okay?
Security to
you. What? No, I'm listening.
Emotional security and financial security.
I'll get back to that. I have a question on that, but I want to hear what other people have to say.
An ear.
Was that Van Gogh? Yes. An ear, yes. Anyone else? Okay. Who said flowers?
What was your question?
I said, what do you expect to give? When I asked what you expect to get, everyone had an opinion. When I asked what do you expect to give, suddenly there's silence.
Love.
Oh, hey, guys, just don't walk in front of the camera this class. No girl should see who's here. Yes.
All I can say is effort.
Okay. Okay. So.
That's what the last question.
When we enter marriage, so we think we know where we're headed, and we think we know who we're marrying to some degree. And then life hits us, and there are many pleasant surprises. The effects of marriage on one's life are far beyond what one can expect. And marriage that's allowed to develop can be a blessing in every area of one's life. But first we have to be able to tap into that blessing. And one of the first issues we run into in marriage is that we are the brunt of our spouse's issues. No one feels our spouse's faults or shortcomings more than we do. No one feels our shortcomings more than our spouse does. So if I had roommates and I had an issue with telling the truth, they might have sensed it a little bit when they asked me what was for dinner. And I said, I don't know, it didn't seem too interesting. When really I do know. But I didn't want to bother answering them. But if it's our spouse that suddenly has to deal with that, well, then it's come up about 15 times a day, and it's much more severe. No one notices if we're short-tempered Oh, they notice it a little bit, but if it's our spouse, then they notice it a lot. We all have weaknesses and shortcomings. For some people, it could be with the truth. For other people, it could be their spending habits. For other people, it could be they're very disorganized. For other people, it could be they're very unclean. You get married, and suddenly you discover that after your wife's washed the dishes, you can still make a bar mina mesonos on the dishes. So you feel like you could give her... Mr. Dweck is already... it could be in areas of religion that you come home and you discover that your wife was serving the kids cereal and there's still grease from the meat they were eating in lunch. And you see your three-year-old taking a hot dog and taking a bite and a spoon of cereal and taking a sip. And you go, is that a pyre of hot dog? And she goes, which hot dog, honey? Right? And by the time you know this, he's already finished the hot dog. And you're like, huh? Okay, and now, nightmare? Why is it a nightmare? Why? Why is it so terrible that people have shortcomings? We also have shortcomings. How many people, I'm not asking to get an answer, how many people go to bed on time? How many people get up on time? How many people are cranky in the morning? How many people forget to launder their clothing? How many people, we all have little things that we do wrong, but those little things pile up. How many people don't notice how much money they have left in their bank account until they got a problem? And then what happens when you're married and suddenly, hey, where are we paying rent from? So people have weaknesses. No one's perfect. How many people forget to brush their teeth every so often? It's not the end of the world, but when you have to pay for the root canal, so then it gets a little troublesome. When it's your child that's getting a root canal, and you relied on your spouse, or your spouse relied on you, then it's a little bit annoying. That could have been avoided. Could it have been avoided? So we enter marriage, and suddenly we discover that we have weaknesses and shortcomings, and our spouse has weaknesses and shortcomings. And now, here's the key. If we can be accepting and loving, then we can have a wonderful marriage. The reason that most people find marriage difficult is because it's very hard to accept someone else's shortcomings. Because I know what my Yetzer Hara is, but how can I live with their Yetzer Hara? So if it's a roommate, no, I could manage. So he doesn't get up for chakras, but I do. So that's his Yetzer Hara. What's it bother me? But if it's your spouse who's not getting up and not getting the kids out on time and getting fired from work and can't hold a job, so then you get pretty annoyed. If you have a roommate who's a slob, so you say, nope, I don't envy his wife. When you discover your wife's a slob, then you don't envy her husband. That's a bit of a problem. But is it? We will always have to live with one another's weaknesses. There's no other way. Because we all have weaknesses. We're all human. I get a phone call one day. A guy says, I'm looking for a shidduch. I say, good luck. He says, can you help me? I say, I don't know. He says, I want the perfect girl. I say, I don't have her. She says, why not? I says, because I've never yet met the perfect guy. Come on, if you're perfect, then she might be good for you. But you're not perfect. No one's perfect. We're all like a puzzle. We have indentations and we have places where we protrude. So we need someone that matches us. Someone that matches us means that where I stick out, she sticks in. Where I stick in, she sticks out. We mesh. We match. Husband and wife are different. And we're going to be different. But we husbands are so good at explaining to women how they should be different. You know, if you'd only do this different, I can't tell you how many times a year I get the same email. My wife comes to me and tells me what her problems are. I tell her what the solutions are. She doesn't implement the solutions, and she comes back and tells me what her problems are. Well, why are you telling me your problem? I told you the solution. Did she really want the solution? Is that our job? And does our solution work for her? Or does our solution work for us? So we're very good at taking our solution and telling someone else that solution. So here's a classical problem. I'll tell you a question I get a few times a year. My wife is soft and gentle and sweet, and everyone walks all over her. The neighbor calls and says, I need someone to make a cake for my daughter's birthday. My wife says, sure, I'll do it, and hangs up and starts cursing herself and tells me, I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't been sleeping so many nights. And I look at her and I say, she has a child, and it's her child's birthday, and you're making her child the cake? Why doesn't she make the cake? She says, I don't know, I guess she's busy. She said she does not do it, so I'm doing it. So you look at your wife and you say, she's outside on the lawn chair sipping a martini, and you're going to stay up all night making her daughter's cake? So then you look at it and you say, couldn't you just say no? And she says, I don't know how to say no. And your wife comes home and says, they asked for overtime hours, and I agreed. But the truth is that I don't know how I'm going to get the kids home, and I don't know how I'm going to get supper ready. So why did I agree? I shouldn't agree. So what are you going to do? You're going to be a classical male, and you're going to tell her, just say no. Well, obviously, she's not so good at that, right? What's the solution? To tell her what works for you is not what's going to work for her. So have you helped her? I'm giving you a real-life example that comes up so often. Now, there are men who have this weakness, too. I just gave an example. So we can very often look at our spouse and take a solution that works for us and say, just do it. Well, it doesn't work for their personality. Did I resolve anything? So I'm not looking to resolve anything in this class. I'm looking to resolve one thing. And that is, we have to learn to be accepting. Accepting of someone who is different than us. Accepting of someone who is most intimate with us, yet different than us. And they have different weaknesses than us. So a guy gets engaged to a girl. Mazel tov. The girl comes from a very poor family. Her father hasn't been employed in I don't know how long. And she has siblings who are funding her. And her siblings pay for her education, and they're paying for a nice part of the wedding. So, true story. It's over a decade old, but it's still true. So the girl goes to pick out a wedding dress. She closes on the wedding dress. The wedding dress costs 4,000 to 5,000 shekel from a very cheap gemach. She closes on the wedding dress. And after she closes and pays, her brother's given her a check. After she closes and everything's done, 2 weeks later she changes her mind. And she decides, I can't stand the dress. So the chassan calls me up. He says, what am I supposed to say? You know, it's very nice of her brother that he agreed to fund her first wedding dress, but we don't have those 5,000 shekel. And now she says she can't stand that dress. What am I supposed to say? So I told him, you're not supposed to say anything. It's none of your business. What do you mean it's none of my business? I said, are you wearing the wedding dress or is she? No, obviously she's wearing the wedding dress. Yeah, I understand that. So then it's her business, not yours. So the guy looks at me and says, but she's taking money that she doesn't have. And I say, do you know how much a wedding dress means to a kala? You have no idea what it means to her. She feels like she can't walk out with that. So you don't know what it means to her. So now you're going to come call the shot for her? She's uncomfortable. She made a mistake. Okay. Imagine you chose a suit, and you're colorblind, and you paid 5,000 shekel for the suit, and you come home, and someone says to you, you know they ripped you off, and you say, why? And they say, your suit is pink. And you look at the suit and say, really? And they say, yeah. It'll look very good on your wife if that were the type of wife you were marrying, but you shouldn't walk down the aisle with that. And you go back to the store and the store owner says, what do you want? I showed you the suit. And you say, gee, I was colorblind. I don't know. The store owner says, sorry, you know, it says here on this wall, no refunds. Now what? No way you're going to walk down the aisle in a pink suit, right? Well, she feels funny in that. She doesn't feel comfortable. So we don't understand it. We are men, and we understand men's world. And we don't understand women's world. And I'm not telling you right now to understand her. I'm saying to be accepting when we don't understand her. There are going to be many times in marriage where you look at one another and you just don't understand where she's coming from. That's okay. As we go through class, hopefully we'll understand more. But what we're discussing today is being accepting. And there are multiple ways of being accepting. There's one way to be condescending. You guys all know what I'm talking about, right? I don't have to give examples. Obviously, that's not going to be beneficial for a relationship. We have to be accepting and non-judgmental. And that takes work, but it's doable. We'll pause for a minute. Joey, yeah?
When you said that a wife that says that doesn't know how to say no, you should comply and help out, aren't you just encouraging her to continue saying yes? You want to help her alleviate herself from this inability to say no situation. You're helping her, you're encouraging her to continue.
When I gave the example of a woman who doesn't know how to say no, I wasn't coming to resolve the situation. I was coming to illustrate that sometimes people have an issue, and the only thing we know how to do is tell them how we would resolve the issue. And in saying that, we haven't resolved the issue for them. I wasn't saying how you could help her. I was just coming to point out how we classically give other people the solutions that obviously work for us, but do not work for them. No, my point was that we make this mistake. We look at other people and don't understand their weaknesses, and then give them solutions that really don't work for them.
I misheard that. I thought you gave a solution to that.
Nope, I didn't give a solution to that.
Even though you didn't give a solution, could you offer a solution to that?
Not in this class. No. Maybe we'll get back to that. It's an important point, but we don't have the time to cover that. That would take a class in its own right. Yes, Yaakov.
What's the balance between any wife will be good or because everyone has shortcomings or an issue, so then what's the compatibility and how much do you have to have in common first, common before?
Okay, so let me rephrase that question. If we're learning now about how within a marriage we have to be accepting of other people's shortcomings, then how do we apply that to the dating scene? So that deserves a question on a Thursday night or when we have our dating series. It's impossible to run this class and keep jumping back to how does this play out in the dating scene. This has nothing to do with dating. Our class begins the day after marriage. Nothing we're saying here is relevant to dating. Dating is a different story. When you're dating, that's a totally different question, but how you gauge the other person. But I want to end with probably the most important point of this class. Deep down inside, what we're all yearning for within a marriage, what we really want in a marriage, is someone who will accept us. But with one clause. Someone who will accept us and love us, knowing our weaknesses full well. What we really want within a marriage is someone who will love us with our weaknesses. And when we come to someone else and say, you know, you're really bad at this, or you really should work on this, or this really isn't right, we are really attacking the core need of our spouse within the marriage. It's not just a comment. We all know our weaknesses. Every one of us. When we're bachelors, we can live in denial. We sort of ignore them. When we're married, so then it stares us in our face because our spouse has to deal with it all the time. And then we have a choice to make, going back to last class. We can give our spouse the feeling that we love them and that we support them and we're accepting of them. And then in time, we will, Bezrat Hashem, discuss how we could also help them evolve and grow. Or we can do what most husbands do and most wives do, and that is repeatedly point out our spouse's shortcomings, repeatedly tell them, you know, you really shouldn't do this. You know, you really should wake up on time. You know, you really should be on time when your boss tells you to be there on time. You know, you really shouldn't play these games on the internet late at night so you stay up late and don't get up in the morning. You know, you really should have less coffee in your intake. You know, you should really eat a more balanced diet. You know, you should lower your sugar intake. You know, you should lose a little bit of weight. You know, you should shower every day. You know, there are a lot of things we all know. Everyone knows they should be doing it. If you'd exercise every day, you'd feel different. If you talk more politely, if you'd eat with your mouth shut, if you take better care of your teeth, There are a million things that we all know we should do different. And yet, we don't want to hear it from our spouse. No one wants to hear it from their spouse. Last class we spoke about compliments being the building blocks of marriage. And through compliments we can be the source of our spouse's happiness. Tonight we spoke about how being accepting, even where we don't compliment, even where we don't understand our spouse, when we are accepting, we are giving our spouse what they really, really want within a marriage, to feel accepted where they are weak, to feel accepted where they don't like themselves. And in a nutshell, what our spouse is really yearning for is that you should like them where they don't like themselves. And that's what we also want. Every person has a part of their own personality that they're frustrated with. The problem with our generation is that we exaggerate it. If we are 70% good and 30% we have issues we're working on, we view the 30% as though that's the whole picture. And then we are super frustrated with ourselves. So, last class we spoke about compliments. This class we spoke about being accepting, giving our spouse the feeling that we love them where they don't love themselves, and without offering solutions, being accepting to our spouse, as even though we recognize their shortcomings. Bezat Hashem, next class we have to pick up with a discussion of criticism.